we've talked about various things now, and I'd like to come back to Gilbert Claridge and the the number one fitting shop, was it?
I reckon it's called Number One Hydraulic.
Number One Hydraulic.
It's called the fitting shop, but its official title was Number One Hydraulic, because Number Two Hydraulic was sort of up there, and that did smaller things. It did valves. It made pumps for British Oil Field Equipment Company. Has anybody mentioned that? Ah, they were mud pumps, which is just an ordinary pump with a, you know, a very hard liner, which can pump mud. I think they were quite good business because the liners lasted 24 hours when they were running, so obviously it was a good spares thing. The same thing happens today, actually. Abrasive mud is still pumped around. I think the official name was Number One Hydraulic, and it was called the fitting shop.
And so if in Number Two they made these pumps and valves, what did you make in Number One?
The big presses. We did all the main assembly work of all the big presses. That was all done in Number One, because the Number Two didn't have the craneage or the space or anything. Number One. One thing I should mention is the lovely lady crane driver. Have you heard about her, Mary?
I have heard Mary's name mentioned, but no one has yet been able to recall anything about her. So you would be the first. So
Mary,
please.
A damn good crane driver. There was always a scramble to get your job on her crane than on the others, rather than on the others. She was very, very good, and I think she was recruited during the war and sort of, you know, as a. Well, I mean, she was probably conscripted even, and she just sort of obviously liked it and stayed on. But she was very good, very, very good. I can remember that. I can't remember much about her. I can't even remember her surname. But Mary, I definitely remember.
And why was she so much better than the other crane drivers?
I couldn't possibly comment on that. Well, partly because one of them was a man. And there was, funny enough, the three crane drivers... I can remember Mary, there was a lady called Peggy, I think, Peg or Peggy, remember? Have you heard of her? She drove the crane, she drove a big 40-ton crane that was, amongst other things, used for offloading from the siding that went into Fieldings. You can probably see it, you've obviously seen the picture. There's the sort of rather grim-looking brack building, and into that there's a railway track. That great big sort of forgings weighing lots of tons and fabrications and castings used to come in there, sit on the wagon, Peg's crane took them off and put them wherever they were supposed to be. And that was a big crane. It was a 40-tonner, I remember. I think Mary's crane was 15, and the other one was sort of 15, 20, something like that. But that was the one to avoid.
So what would the 15-ton cranes have been used for then?
More or less everything, because the actual components probably wouldn't have weighed that much more than 15 tonnes. The whole assembly would, but that sort of kit, you don't send it out in one piece, because it just becomes too heavy. You build it up, test it, take it apart again, and it's put together on site. And that's been standard practice of Fieldings, I guess, for, well... a century or so now.
And it would have been quite unusual for people like Mary and Peggy to be working in a shop that was male dominated, I guess.
Oh yes, but highly respected nevertheless. But yes, I mean, we had women were sort of confined to clerical jobs. The fitting shop, Number One Hydraulic, was a lass there called Shirley who did sort of clerical work and collected job cards and that sort of thing. And other shop floor areas did have women, but, you know, sort of only the token one, really. And certainly nobody... There was only Mary and Peg, I think, who actually did, you know, sort of proper work, if you like, did what the company did in the way of making things, or help with making things. There were women on the staff, of course, there were, you know, typists and that's those sort of activities. There was nobody in those days, there was nobody in anything near a senior position. You know, it was one and truly sort of them and us.
But you say that they were well respected, yeah. And they must have joined in with some of the banter that happened in the shop when things were being made. Can you just recall what Peggy and the other lady crane drivers, Mary, what were they like?
In those days, they all lived up in a box in the roof, so you never spoke to them apart from, or not, you know, sort of social. You didn't have conversations. It was all sort of, you know, lower down a bit, up a bit, that sort of thing. It isn't like the cranes that you walk about with control these days. But they were always up in a box. They had to climb up a ladder and get in a box. And, you know, this is true. So you didn't have sort of chat. But I don't know about Peg, because I didn't really know her that well, but Mary would have held her own with anybody, no question.
Why do you say that?
She just would.
And they would have been dressed in similar clothes to the men that would have been working in the shop.
Yeah, just in boiler suit.